we auditioned a fantastic, fantastic group of singers this year and put together some wonderful choirs. You know what's amazing? Our high school summer music program called Seminar gathers talented high school students from across the state, sometimes across the country. We've even had international students come to that program. Often they'll come to Western for college afterwards. The amazing thing now is that I have some seniors in the university chorale that started with me as high school students in our summer music camp. And a few students, by the time they graduate from Western, I will have known them for 8 or 9 years.
Is that one of the reasons you got into teaching at all?
Oh, well, I love teaching. And one of the reasons I like to conduct at the university level is because I get to see this incredible journey. And now with, you know, Western Seminar, I get to see them grow from age 14 all the way through to 21 or 22. And people change a lot in that span of time. And I love seeing them emerge into adulthood in successful and healthy ways.
You also maintain the sound of the choir. It has a standard that you set when you came 6 years ago. And even with students graduating, it stays at that level. How do you manage that?
Well, you know, that's one of the cool things about teaching at a college is that at any given point in time, a minimum of 25% of your singers are going to leave. And, you know, you will always have then a percentage of new singers every year. And to me, my choir sounds so different every year because the people inside of it are so different. But at the same time, there are some things that are consistent no matter what. I have a core of singers that love to be in choir and they love to be in rehearsal and they love to sing choral music. We work on some of the same basic musical elements, rhythm and pitch and musical expression and diction and breath. And so no matter who it is, when we're gathered for that same purpose and working on the same elements to achieve that purpose, there's going to be a consistency to it.
This is the choral showcase on Sunday.
Yes.
It begins at 3 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. This brings together three choirs.
Yes.
Which choirs are those?
So this concert will feature the University Chorale, Collegiate Singers, and Cantus Femina. And on this concert, I'll be directing University Chorale. Dr. Ken Pruitt will be conducting Collegiate Singers, and Dr. Dee Gauthier is going to conduct Cantus Femina.
How will you be dividing it up?
Well, each choir is going to present a set of pieces, and we spoke a lot over the summer and did a lot of planning to make sure that the concert was going to be coherent and have a message. And the theme that we decided on for this concert is called Life Cycles. Each one of our sets is going to explore this idea of passage of time in a person's life. And sometimes that time can be perceived of as secular, and events in our lives can feel like cycles rather than just events.
Now, you're directing the University Chorale.
Yes, I am.
So let's talk about what you thought of for this portion of the program.
I am so, so excited about this set of music. The centerpiece of our set is actually the King Singer's arrangement of Billy Joel's And So It Goes.
Wait, that just doesn't seem to add up in my mind. The King Singers.
The King Singers.
And Billy Joel.
Yes, they did an arrangement of Billy Joel's And So It Goes for choir. And it's phenomenal. And this meeting of classical singing, you know, with a beautiful song written by what we would call a pop star, is it's really so beautiful and so touching. And we consider the song, I think, in America to be almost part of our folk culture rather than just a very popular song.
And So It Goes deals with what lyrically?
Well, this song is about vulnerability in relationships. It's about putting your heart out for somebody and that possibility that you could be accepted or rejected. And this is something that almost every human experiences in their life. And often we experience it repeatedly. I was listening to this song. It came up on a playlist this summer and I heard it and I thought, this is something that is so unbelievably relatable, and it's a theme that has been present in music everywhere. So the strange thing then was how the rest of the set came together, because the piece that I've chosen to pair with this Billy Joel standard is a Lithuanian folk tune called Tikus Tikus. And in the song Tikus Tikus, there are two main characters, and through their meeting, they fall in love, and the woman gets seduced, and then the guy is called away to war and rides out of the town. And this is a very common theme in Lithuanian folk music. The idea of the quiet rider, he rides away on a horse. And so that's that imagery is fairly common. And so the two pieces are paired together as a Lithuanian folk tale of heartbreak and an American tale of heartbreak.
You've designed it so that they really do pair together and there's no break?
There's no break. There's no key change. It's it should be seamless. And it's really particularly important that the two pieces go together because this choir, the University Chorale, is taking a tour to the Baltics in May. And
what?
So this group of American singers will actually be singing this part of the set in Lithuania. And so not only does the set fit together in terms of the fact that everybody deals with love and loss of love, but it's also, I think, symbolic of the fact that these singers are going to be traveling to the other country. So it's sort of a Lithuania meets America idea.
Is the Lithuanian song in the language?
Yes, we are singing it in Lithuanian. We have been working so hard.
How do you distinguish that from other Baltic languages? Is it different from, I don't know, Russian or Finnish or something?
Phonetically? Well, Lithuanian has a different, the root of the language is separate from the other Baltic languages. So Lithuanian is actually very different.
Very different.
We will actually be singing throughout this year in Lithuanian, Latvian, and Estonian. And that actually brings me to the next piece in our set, which is by a Latvian composer, Eriks Esenvalds, a really popular composer in America right now. And we'll be doing a piece of his called Only in Sleep. And the poetry is by Sarah Teasdale.
That will be in English?
That will be in English, yes. The poem is in English, so we'll be singing it in English.
That's the University Chorale, along with the Collegiate Singers and Cantus Femina on Sunday at 3 o'clock, a free concert in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Let's take a break and hear one of these pieces. Which piece of the set would you like to share with us right now?
I would love to share with you the Eschenwald's Only in Sleep.
We just heard Only in Sleep, a setting by Eschenwalds, a popular choral composer these days, according to my guest, Kim Adams, with poetry by Sarah Teasdale. And what I heard in the piece is this idea that only in sleep time suspend itself and we can kind of go back and live in these old memories.
Mm-hmm.
Of people that aren't around anymore or just went on to other things. Beautiful piece of poetry and music.
I think that the imagery in the poem is just stunning. It's this idea that, you know, we all have friends. that we haven't seen in years. I hear people laugh after class reunions all the time, like, oh my gosh, you got old. But the fact is, when you don't see somebody, their image is imprinted in your mind the way they were. And so they don't age, and time doesn't wreak its havoc on those we've lost or those that we miss and those that were not around. And when I first heard the piece, it was one of the first pieces in a while that just, it brought me to my knees in tears. And even with people we're around, I have a 2-year-old son. And there are moments on a random Tuesday morning, I'll wake up, and in my mind's eye, he's still an infant. And I go upstairs to get him from his room, and there he is, big toddler. And I'm shocked when I realize how much he's grown.
Probably and, overnight he grew a little bit.
That is true. But when I heard this song, I thought about that, how our mind and time creates cycles and patterns where things don't progress or they progress too fast. And it's really an amazing thing about us as human beings, that time is sometimes movable.
This always happens when I talk to you or other choral directors. We end up on just a 3 minutes of the program, you know, and how deep you can go into a single selection, whereas, you know, I've got three pieces total to talk about when I'm talking to a conductor of a symphony generally. But it's so well thought out, well cared for, and well considered how poetry influences so much.
You are trying to put together a program that is coherent from beginning to end, not unlike a symphony, except that there's not one composer that's doing it for you. We, as conductors, have to do it ourselves. And this year, we're trying even more to make this music come to life for people. So during the last piece that you heard, as we sing Only in Sleep, we're going to be projecting photos of the singers in our choir from when they were children. And photos that we've gotten with permission of their friends and family members. So that as we are singing about this idea of remembrance, we actually get a visual connection to that.
Just to remind folks, this concert is at 3:00 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's the fall choral showcase featuring University Chorale, collegiate singers, and Cantus Femina. Dee Gauthier conducts that group, Ken Pruitt conducts the Collegiate Singers, and my guest Kim Adams directs the University Chorale. I should ask, what order are we going to hear the choirs on Sunday?
University Chorale generally closes these programs, and so that choir will be featured last. Cantus Femina is going to be in the middle, and the first choir, the choir that will open the program, is Collegiate Singers, and they will be opening the program with a piece called You Are the New Day.
Ah, are the Collegiate Singers a bigger group or a smaller group than the University Chorale?
The Collegiate Singers are a larger group, approximately 65 singers in that ensemble, and they are phenomenal this year. The sound is robust and healthy and just beautiful.
Well, let's go back to the University Chorale. We've heard Only in Sleep by Eschenwalds. What are some other highlights?
So almost every piece in our set touches on love in some way or another. So we'll actually be opening our set with the first movement from Debussy's Trois Chansons, Dieu qui l'a fait bon regarder.
Oh, you'll have to translate.
Which means, God, she is so beautiful.
Huh.
Well, that's a poetic translation, not literal.
Debussy didn't write a lot of choral music that I know of, right?
No, and in fact, I believe this is the only set of unaccompanied choral pieces that he wrote.
Can you tell that it's Debussy? Like if you're thinking La Mer or some of the piano pieces, can you tell, even in an unfamiliar form for him, that it's Debussy?
It absolutely is Debussy. You hear it in the sort of watery harmonies and the shifting colors of the pieces. There's an incredible amount of rubato, and there's a rhythmic pull that feels like it naturally unfolds. A lot of duple against triple and triplets of different varieties. It is just a stunning piece.
Is it a challenge to conduct an impressionist choral piece?
It is, because there is so much rubato. It's difficult to control it and allow it to feel natural at the same way, at the same time. And when you're working with a choir too, yes, you lead what they do, but you also get feedback from that choir. And we'll have run-throughs where I'll feel the choir really wants to pull something back, and I let them. And then we keep moving forward in other ways. So it's definitely challenging, but it is so rewarding to conduct this music.
Why don't we listen to one of the chansons, the number one of the three chansons, which means song, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very simple title. Here's music of Debussy. Singing in French, that's a song by Claude Debussy. It's on the program this Sunday at the Western Michigan University Choral Showcase, and it's a selection on the portion of the concert featuring the University Chorale. And Kim Adams is my guest here talking about some of the pieces. There are a lot to talk about, right? If you attend the concert, there'll probably be 15 or 20 different pieces, all different composers.
Mm-hmm.
Such variety to choose from.
A great variety of pieces, and it'll total approximately 80 minutes of music.
Starting at 3 o'clock, and again, there's no charge for this concert. I know that the last few years have been filled with appearances at choral directors' conferences, even maybe competitions. You get the choir out there as often as possible. A lot of recognition, invitations to perform. So I assume that continues apace. What's coming up with the choral programs at Western?
We have an incredible year planned. So this all starts with the Choral Showcase on Sunday at 3. But about a week later, Kalamazoo is hosting the Michigan State ACDA Convention. That is the American Choral Directors Association. And the convention is going to be held at First Methodist Church in downtown Kalamazoo on October 28th and 29th. And that convention is going to feature choirs from around the state at all different levels, from children's choirs through adult choirs and high school choirs and collegiate choirs. And in between all of these performances, there are workshops for people that are interested in choral music to further their skills. There are conducting master classes, and some Western students will be featured in those conducting master classes. And it's, I believe, Greg Jaspers and Gold Company will be featured in a session about vocal jazz. So it's going to be a very exciting convention in downtown Kalamazoo.
You know, I had a chance to look it up online, the full list of events and programs offered. They do look like, if you're a professional, you definitely want to attend. But is it open people to walk in and hear concerts and singing?
So the convention itself is really more for choral conductors and music teachers to attend all of the events, but all of the concerts are open to the public, and I believe ticket prices for general public admission is $5 per concert.
So the American Choral Directors Association Michigan Conference is coming up the final weekend of October, Kim, and where can people find out more about this conference?
Well, people can read more about the conference at the website, which is acdami.org, or you can look up ACDA Michigan on Facebook. and you can find more links and information there.
Okay. I see the guest of honor is Z. Randall Stroop, and I know that name.
Yes.
He is one of the most prolific composers, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the choral world?
Yeah, he has a lot of pieces. It's actually pretty rare that I go to a high school choral festival and don't hear at least one piece by Z. Randall Stroop. And he's the headliner of the conference. He'll be teaching the graduate conducting masterclass and giving a lot of workshops on musicianship.
Well, so wonderful to have him in Kalamazoo.
Absolutely.
Well, what else can you tell us about coming up?
Oh, my goodness. So the day after that convention ends, we're hosting the Rose Ensemble in Dalton Recital Hall. And this is a joint venture between the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music and Western Michigan University. And so the Rose Ensemble will be giving a concert called Land of Three Faiths, Voices of Ancient Mediterranean Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And the music is going to explore the faith connections of these Abrahamic religions and their early, early music.
Have you ever seen the Rose Ensemble, or will this be your first chance?
This will be my first chance to see them live. I have a ton of their CDs.
Oh, really?
And I've been listening to them for years, so I am very excited about this concert.
Do they hold up an example or a way to engage in choral music that you admire?
Well, I like the scholarly nature of what they do, and that their director takes a lot of very cerebral ideas and then makes them real through performance.
That's one of two world-class professional choirs that are visiting Kalamazoo this year.
Yes. We've put together two separate choral concerts and residencies that bookend each other in this year. So the fall semester features a performance and a workshop for University Chorale and other students at Western with the Rose Ensemble. And that residency is for early music. And then in April, we will be hosting Roomful of Teeth, which is the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. This is an award-winning, cutting-edge vocal ensemble that sings entirely new music.
Well, that is a perfect bookend. You can see both extremes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be really exciting. And then in between the two, we have, of course, Choral Christmas and a series of other choral concerts in and around Kalamazoo.
Well, I wish you all the best for a choral showcase on Sunday. Music begins at 3 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Before we go, I just wanted to get back to this Latvian-Lithuanian tour, and maybe you could leave us with the Lithuanian piece you mentioned earlier.
Yes. So as I was talking about the connection between the American and Lithuanian songs, we had talked about Tikus Tikus, which is by Augustinas, a Lithuanian composer. And so as you listen to this piece, what you hear in all of the voice parts is this constant riding. And in fact, there are places where you hear from sections of the choir the actual clip-clops of horse hooves as the choir goes. And so you hear it in the rhythm of the language, in the diction, and then in actual sound effects.
Kim, thank you for coming to WMUK, exposing us a little further to the incredible world of choral music.
Thank you so much for having me.